Welcome to the Information Security Forum podcast. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert, and we're back in the studio with Steve Durbin, Managing Director of ISF, discussing the Threat Horizon 2021. Today's theme of discussion is the digital connectivity that exposes hidden dangers. Today, digital connectivity is essential in everyday life. A growing reliance that is only set to increase over the next 2 years as we see technologies such as the Internet of Things playing a vital role in business success. By 2021, vast webs of intelligent devices combined with increased speeds, automation, and digitization will create possibilities for businesses and consumers that were previously well out of reach. However, the increasing complexity of this digital connectivity will also increase the number of endpoints and expand the attack surface, which amplifies existing danger and creates new dangers for businesses and consumers alike. So, Steve, when we last spoke, we talked about 5G, which has been eagerly anticipated for the massive increase in speed that it will bring. What are the security implications of 5G? And do you think that all of the benefits that come with it outweigh all of the risks?
I think that to a certain extent, it's a bit of a moot point because we're going to be moving down the 5G road anyway. That is the direction we're headed in. And so it's almost, you know, that assessment of does the benefit outweigh some of the challenge and the risk has already really been covered off. Mm-hmm. The reality is, of course, that the emergence of 5G will undoubtedly broaden attack surfaces. As organizations become much more heavily reliant on 5G to operate the way in which they go about doing their business, because it becomes the way that you do conduct business, we are going to see new attack vectors exploiting some of the weaknesses in that emerging technology. And already we've seen researchers that have been looking at how they can attack 5G infrastructure, some of the implications of that, and so on. But that's no different to what we've seen with 4G and so on. I think that one of the key challenges, though, with 5G is around this speed, because what it means is that denial of service attacks, APTs, these kinds of things will come about very much more rapidly. Mm. So from the security standpoint, what we have to be doing in that environment is really trying to predict, because we're not going to have the time to respond. You require some form of response time to an attack. And I think that that really is going to open up the role of things like artificial intelligence, machine learning that you've heard me talk about so many times before in security. Because that's going to enable us, I think, to really not overcome, but better equip ourselves to deal with some of the advanced attacks that we're going to be seeing within this kind of environment. But certainly, is 5G going to bring benefit? I'm convinced it will. Mm-hmm. Because it is going to provide an entirely different infrastructure for things like smart city rollout, for autonomous vehicles, whether those be on roads, so taking you or I from A to B. But also we should think about the use of autonomous vehicles in things like farming, for instance, crops and so on. The ability to send that level of information back and assimilate that and make changes based on how we're seeing things develop in real time, we shouldn't really underestimate. And so I think that, there are significant pockets of very large-scale benefit associated with 5G. But as with most of these things, we do need to understand better how we can make it more secure. And I think that organizations really need to identify where they're planning to use 5G across the organization as part of their ongoing risk assessments, and undoubtedly update their crisis management plans to take into account the fact that we're going to see an increased sophistication in the way in which we are moving data and the use that is then going to be made of.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and more industries adopting AI and machine learning, and those technologies are helping them make critical business decisions. What industries do you see being most vulnerable to attacks because of that new technology? And why would you identify those industries as particularly vulnerable?
I think there are two elements to this, Tavia. The first is attack, certainly. But the other is what I would call manipulation. So not strictly speaking an attack. For me, an attack is all about how do I, take something down? How do I be destructive, I guess? I think the more real concern in this environment, in the machine learning environment, is the manipulation of machine learning systems, either for financial gain or to cause damage, disruption to the way in which things are operating, and by so doing, destroy trust. And it's quite interesting, there is in the report, in the Threat Horizon report this time, we do talk about some of research that's been done by Cornell University in terms of looking at the way in which you or I are able to distinguish shapes, signs, and so on, when they have been slightly obscured. And there are two particular examples that we draw out in the report. One is a panda, and the other is a stop sign. And certainly what Cornell found was that by manipulating some of the information there, neural networks, so machines effectively, could be confused. Now, if you see a panda as being a gibbon, does it really make that much difference? You might say not. However, from a facial recognition perspective, and if you could change the way in which a machine views a terrorist to being a benign individual, mm-hmm. that would make a significant difference, of course. I used the example of stop signs, and again, what Cornell did was put graffiti over a stop sign that again allowed a machine to interpret it rather as a stop sign, as a speed limit sign, and so therefore increase the speed of the autonomous vehicle. And we've seen already some examples, you know, with the autonomous vehicle trials where people have been run over and that kind of thing, mm-hmm. because the systems couldn't identify them properly. That's the sort of danger, I think, that I see in the near term around machine learning. And I think that, you know, for businesses, for organizations, what they need to be doing is really understanding better their dependency on machine learning-based systems and reviewing some of the security components at the design stage. You know, how are we going to, again, compensate for the fact that there might be some errors that creep into the system? Are we going to be providing a kill switch, effectively, that we can pull? I've advocated that in the past when we've talked about artificial intelligence and machine learning, because it is so much in its infancy. I think what's clear over the next couple of years, though, is that we're going to see massive maturing of machine learning. Some of the problems that we're talking about will inevitably go away. And so that's going to, I think, increase the need for us to really understand the way in which we're using some of those systems and really look to see how we can protect them better and effectively monitor the results they're giving us. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to, you know, implement, I think, a lot more check and balance in that particular space just to make sure that the information we're getting is real.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about IoT. A recent Vodafone report posits that technologies such as IoT are now vital for business success. What do businesses need to consider before implementing such technologies, and what threats should they prepare for in the future?
I think there are two challenges with IoT. The first is really knowing what devices you've got out there. And for some organizations, that is quite difficult because this isn't something that we woke up this morning to. You know, IoT devices have been out there in the wild now for quite some while. And one of the biggest challenges for organizations is trying to understand where these devices sit across the corporate real estate. If you just look at your home, for instance, you know, there are IoT devices all across the home, from your fridge through to your TV set, through to your toaster, areas where you may not even imagine that they exist. And that, I think, is one of the challenges with IoT. Going forward, then certainly I think organizations need to have a better grasp on where they are rolling these devices out, because they need to be able to manage them to a certain extent. We've got some new regulation coming in, for instance, in California, that talks about the need for security to be built into IoT devices. That's not going to come about for another couple of years, but I think that's a good first step as well, because we're starting to see a recognition that these devices need to have security designed into them. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't get over the problem that we've got of the fact that there are so many devices that are out there. So the big challenge for organizations is really understanding what that IoT real estate looks like across the enterprise, what job it's doing, whether it's still valid, do you need them? And I think making sure that when new IoT devices are being rolled out, that we understand where they're going so that we can monitor them, so that we can ensure that we're providing a degree of security. Because they are, by the nature, always looking to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so they do provide an opportunity for people either to get into systems or indeed to be manipulated in some way, shape or form. So the challenge of IoT shouldn't be underestimated by anyone. And as I say, that, you know, one of the biggest issues for me anyway in this space is that there are just so many of those devices already out there, mm-hmm. and we're playing catch up.
Right. We've seen an increase in malware attacks on ICS and other critical infrastructure. How can businesses stop themselves in such cases being held to ransom?
I think that one of the things I would say about the Threat Horizon report this time is that it really does call out some very real threats for critical infrastructure. And you mentioned ICS there. We've just been talking about IoT. You know, all of these things coexist within critical infrastructure. And I think one of the threats that we're concerned about is particularly around malware being installed on those devices, perhaps stealing processing power, perhaps causing infrastructure, critical infrastructure, to behave in ways that it wasn't designed to, degrading performance, maybe shutting down critical services. And all of that takes on an increased importance when we look at it within the critical infrastructure environment, because it is critical, right? And so from an organizational standpoint, I think we need to be much smarter at determining the likelihood of malware infection in those environments and ensuring that some of the basics are being done again, some of the security basics, like, you know, patching. Are all of our vulnerable systems patched? Mm-hmm. Have we identified our vulnerable systems? Do we know what our mission critical systems are? Are we monitoring them? So some basic security, I think, that we can put in place that a lot of listeners will be sitting there nodding and saying, well, we do all of that. But actually, it isn't the sort of thing that we can afford to just do once and then walk away from. And, you know, the challenge that we didn't touch on when we were just talking about IoT just now is that that too can be used as a means of transporting malware into these environments. And if you don't know where it is, how can you monitor it? So we have to be identifying the systems that are critical to our business. We have to be ensuring that they are as protected as possible. We have to have some form of resilience around them so that we can get them back up and running if they go down, or indeed replace them. And we have to really be providing some solid cyber hygiene around managing those systems, I think. But for me anyway, the malware around the critical infrastructure and the fact that it is being targeted so very much more aggressively than we've seen in the past is probably one of the major threats in this particular report.
Mm-hmm. In a hyper-connected world, attack surfaces and interdependencies will keep growing quickly. By understanding and evaluating how these new technologies will be leveraged for competitive advantage, organizations may be able to invest in controls to protect against any new threats that they pose. Organizations must be agile enough to adapt to heightened digital connectivity, ensuring that new security mechanisms are implemented should existing ones prove ineffective. In the next episode in our Threat Horizon 2021 series, I want to discuss the Threat Horizon theme number 2, Digital Cold War Engulfs Business. Thank you again, Steve, for being here and sharing your insights with our listeners. For information about the ISF and the tools and resources available, please visit securityforum.org.